Good Sunday morning, Central Baptist Church and guests. Today is Sunday, April the 26th. We're glad that you're joining us today as we continue broadcasting by way of social media venues as well as our website. We thank you for joining us, and I want to say a special thank you to those that that have actually been tuning in to us from many, many places. It's been a joy and a privilege to see those from Indiana, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, North and South Carolina, as well as Georgia and Mississippi. So I want to thank you all for joining us during this time of quarantine for COVID-19. And we trust and pray that God's going to continue to bless you in all that you do. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. You know, I thought so much about what God had done in many of the cities, or for cities as well as for people, throughout the Bible. I mean, times when God really wanted to get folks' attention. Sometimes it was an individual person. Sometimes it was the nation of Israel. You know, sometimes it was a city such as Sodom and Gomorrah, or even in the case that we're going to look at today. And I thought that that this particular passage out of Jonah is so fitting in light of our world's condition today. You know, we're starting to hear how things are looking to relax a little bit in the coming weeks. And yeah, it's one of those things that really has kind of excited us, but it's been a while. I think this is actually 6 weeks since we've had a chance to be able to come together and to meet as a church. And we've been challenging you to look and see what it is that God is trying to tell you. We've been trying to evaluate as well and see what is it that God is telling the church. And in this particular passage today, we see where God was trying to get the attention of a city that he loved, a place that he wanted repentance to reign forth, a place where he wanted people to have that opportunity to look to God, the author and the finisher of their strength, their faith, and everything else along the way. And yet they had turned away from him. So God decided he was gonna send a messenger. I've said this so many times, God doesn't just come in and all of a sudden just clean house. There are many, many warning shots, as it were, before God comes in and does those type things. I've said, I believe that through the midst of this pandemic, God is trying to get our attention. He's trying to slow us down. He's trying to make us evaluate and to show us some things that we need to be doing that we haven't been doing before. I believe when we look at this particular instance of a city that God wanted to save, we're going to see some characteristics. We're going to see how some metaphors of this story will fit right in with our life today. Look with me, if you would, at the book of Jonah, chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading with verse 1. Jonah, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, 'What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish.' And they went and they said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah." Verse 8. "Then they said to him, 'Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?' So he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid, and they said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuously. Verse 12, and he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuously against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you today, and Lord, we just pray that you will truly speak to our hearts. Father, I pray that during this time when our whole world has changed in such a fashion that we've drawn closer to you, Lord, we've had times to really spend quality time with you. Father, I pray that we are understanding the personal, individual message that you're trying to give each and every person going through this time of pandemic. Lord, I pray that you will help us corporately to be able to hear the words that you have for us, that your church may never be as it ever was before, but Lord, as we go forward, that we will do so with a new sense of urgency, and Lord, a true sense of the basics of what you've asked us to do as a corporate body of Christ. So Lord, bless our time. Speak to our hearts through this passage today, as Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You know, when we look at this particular passage in verses 1 and 2, it's very interesting that God kind of conveys what he is wanting done. If you look, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. This is verse 1, the Midtai, saying, verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. There was no trying to figure it out. He knew in plain, uncertain terms where God was calling him to go. He was calling him to go to a city called Nineveh. Verse 2 calls it that great city, and cry out against it. In other words, what God was saying to him is, I need you to go down there and I need you to preach repentance to them. And the reason why, verse 2 at the end of it tells us the reason why, it says in the latter part of verse 2, for their wickedness has come up before me. Nineveh wasn't following the Lord. They were not doing what God would have them to do. They were not following in such a fashion as they should. And God has somewhat against them at that point. So he's going to give them a chance, and he decides what he's going to do is he is going to send Jonah, one of his servants, down there to preach to them, to preach repentance. Now, verse 3, something interesting takes place. And we know that according to the word of God, Jonah knew exactly without any misunderstanding what it was God wanted him to do. But then it says in verse 3, but Jonah arose and fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, from the presence of the Lord simply means he was trying to get away from what it was that God had called him to do. You see, God had called him, and he wanted him to go down and preach against Nineveh because a countdown had begun for the city. A countdown that we learn later on in Jonah, and we may get to that in a couple of weeks. But this countdown had become because what it was is that God said, you got 6 weeks. You got 6 weeks to get things right. 6 weeks. Or judgment is going to fall on you. This was the message that he was giving Jonah to preach to Nineveh. There was a countdown on their wickedness. There was a countdown to life. There was a countdown towards prophetic fulfillment. And I believe that God is trying to get our attention in this day and age in the same way that he was trying to get the attention of Nineveh in the day when he sent Jonah there. You know, it's kind of like that old expression, I think God is firing a shot across our bow. I think that we've gotten so far away from Him. I think we've complicated things so much, and we've become in our own little world that the Lord looks at us and basically says, I don't even know who you all are anymore, and I want to shake you. I want to warn you. I want you to be what I've asked you to be. I want you to be what I am calling you to be. And in the case of Nineveh, He says, you got 6 weeks. And He told Jonah, I want you to go down, and I want you to tell them, you have 6 weeks. There's hope. I want you to know too, there was hope for Nineveh. There is hope for you and I today. God is trying to get our attention. What is it that He's telling us? What adjustments do we need to make during this time when we have every chance in the world to make those adjustments? You know, He's crying out towards them, but there's a hope for the city. There's a hope for Nineveh that rests in Jonah doing what it is that God has called him to do, to go down there and to proclaim God's word. And what do we find Jonah doing? And the word of God says that he's relaxing. How do we know that? Because it told him this. The word says it told him, arise. In other words, get up. Yeah, I think it's time for the church to arise. It is time for us to get up and to be about the Father's business. It is time for us to stop with simple facility-based evangelism. It is time for us to be the missionaries that God's called us to be. And when I say missionaries, I'm not necessarily talking about going out and getting on a plane and going on mission trips and going overseas and going. I'm talking about starting in your own backyard. I'm talking about that neighbor that maybe over these past 6 weeks, you are starting to get to know a little bit better because you've had time to talk with them across the fence. I'm talking about that workplace for those of you who are essential workers and you're still going in, the people that you see on a daily basis. Maybe it's time for you to begin to be what it is that God wants you to be in their life. Yeah, there is a warning. God was giving Nineveh a warning. I believe He's given the church a warning. I believe He's giving you and I both a warning in our personal lives. And He's telling us this. He's telling us the same thing that He told Jonah. It's time to get up. It's time to get moving. It is time to be about the Father's business. You see, Jonah metaphorically kind of stands for the sleeping church in this such a critical time. You know, I've said this so many times to our church, and I'll say it outright for all who may be listening. I believe that the Lord's going to, in my lifetime before death, I believe He's going to call us out of here. Now, I'm not sitting here prophesying days, dates, times, or anything to that nature, but if you look at what the Word of God tells us, never have we been as poised to see the Lord's return as we have in this day and age. You know, the Word tells us that when that day will come, there will be advances in technology. There will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be pestilence. There will be earthquakes. There will be all these things. There will be plagues, the things that we're seeing and that we're going through right now. It says that son will rise against father and daughter against mother and vice versa. These are things that are taking place now. I believe that we are closer than ever. So it is critical for the church to be about the Father's business in our own backyards, in our workplaces, you know, in our families, wherever we may go, as well as being able to reach across our town, our county, our state, as well as this whole country. So I believe with all of my heart that Jonah is a perfect representation of the church that's been asleep in such a critical hour, and now it is time for us to wake up. Metaphorically speaking, I also believe that Nineveh stands for the lost world, a world that is teetering on the brink of death and hell. And the question is, do we really care? Yeah, as people of God, as we should be the ones that care. If we don't care, nobody else will. Now, I often think, and I've stated this with those as we have met together as a church, and I state this to you today. I want you to think for a moment about the time when you gave your heart to Christ, if you're a believer. I want you to think about the people in your life that cared enough about you to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ and His saving grace. Where would you be without those people in your life? Where would you be without those that cared for you? You know, there's something that goes along with that. It is time for you and I to care for somebody else. It is time for us to be that voice of the Holy Spirit, that voice of Jesus knocking on their door to point them into the direction of the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, Nineveh metaphorically stands for that lost and dying world. Now, we need to think about the condition of Jonah's heart, because a lot of us that know about this story, we've read it or we've heard about it. If we spent any time around church or religion or anything else, what happened was Jonah was rebellion. He was in rebellion. He was rebellious. He was disobedient, because remember where the Lord told him to go. The Lord told him to go to Nineveh. And the word tells us that instead of going to Nineveh, he actually went completely in the opposite direction. You know, he went down to Joppa. He looked at the Lord and said, "Oh, you want me to go to Nineveh? Okay, not a problem." And went the complete, totally opposite direction. Why did he do that? Let me tell you why. Because he hated the Ninevites with a passion. He didn't want to do that. Of all the people in the world, he said, "You know what? I'll go preach to anybody you want me to, but I'm not going to preach to those Ninevites. I don't like them. I don't care for them. You know, I'm just not going to do it." Now, he didn't tell God that. Instead, what he did was he was disobedient and went exactly 180 degrees in the opposite direction. But folks, let me tell you, God got Jonah's attention in the same way that he'll get your attention, and in the same way that he will get my attention. You know, I want you to think about something in your life. The Holy Spirit may already be dealing with something in your life, and it might even be to the point where you can pinpoint when you departed from God, when God said to you, "Listen, brother or sister, I don't want you to be doing this anymore. This is not something that pleases me. This is counterproductive for your spiritual growth." And you said, "I'm not doing it." Or you might have said to him, "Oh, okay, Lord," but in your heart of hearts, you knew you were going to go in the opposite direction. Some of us listening today can pinpoint the exact time and the exact moment when that took place. Folks, I'm here to tell you that you can repent in the same way, not in the same way that Jonah did, but in the same way that others in the Bible did, because the problem with Jonah was Jonah had to have another attention getter along the way. Yeah, we'll cover that in just a moment, but yeah, for some of us, we understand, we know where that downward slope, that backslidden downward spiral started, because it's so easy. Listen, in your spiritual life, you're doing one of two things. You're either going forward for the sake of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you are growing in His grace, or you are on a very slippery slope. You're on your way down. To be a backslidden Christian. Yeah, there's no middle ground. You're not just holding ground. You're either advancing or you're slipping. So which one is that today with you? You see, in verses 4 through 16, we see that Jonah was chastened. Now, that's a spiritual word for the Lord wasn't going to let him get away with it. The Lord went after him. And the word also tells us in the book of Hebrews, those whom the Lord loves, He chastens. In the same way that you do everything you can to correct your children, to make sure that they turn out to be wonderful human beings and that they do the right things. God does the same thing for His children. He chastens them. And as Jonah was heading in the wrong direction, the Lord caused a storm to come up. And in the middle of that storm, it's so ironic what it was that Jonah was doing. Now, to my knowledge, Jonah wasn't a seasoned fisherman. He wasn't a seasoned boatsman. But yet, while everybody else on this ship is going crazy thinking that they're going to die, the word tells us that Jonah was down below asleep, just flat out sleeping. You know, I think sometimes depression does that with people. They're down there sleeping. Jonah just kind of was seemingly didn't have a care in the world, going in an exact opposite direction of the one that God was calling him to. You see, God has a purpose in our trials and our tribulations, and sometimes it is to bring us back to Him. You know, there was some reaction from the sailors. You know, the sailors on the boat went down, they woke Jonah up, and they said, "Look, why are you here once again sleeping? Why don't you get up? Why don't you call on your God, and perhaps your God might save us? Perhaps your God may get us, you know, out of this situation." And Jonah at some point has told these sailors that he's running from God. At some point he's told them, because the word tells us that it said they knew what he was doing. And so they ask him another question. Those sailors on the boat asked Jonah another question in verse 10. He says, "Why have you done this? Why is it that you're running from God?" You know, it's kind of like, are you crazy? Listen, I might ask you the same thing today. Those of you who know that you are running from God, what are you doing? You can't outrun Him. You can't run fast enough. You can't climb high enough. You can't hide under anything that can get you away from God. He knows exactly where you are. So the sailors asked Jonah, why have you done this? And I'm asking you the same thing today on behalf of the Holy Spirit. Why are you doing this? Why are you going in the opposite direction of what God wants you to go? You see, then what happened was God said, you know, no, I didn't just ask you to do something. I commanded you to do something. Yeah, even Jonah along the way, Jonah said, throw me overboard. And the sailors said, well, we can't do that. They tried to row harder. And finally, they got to a point and said, well, you know what? Maybe that's exactly what we need to do. We've already jettisoned the load. We've already gotten rid of everything we can get rid of, except for the guy who says he knows is the problem. They cast lots. The lots fell on Jonah as well. And they got to the point where they said, you know what? To save our lives, maybe we need to do exactly what Jonah said and throw him overboard. Well, they even asked God. They said, look, don't hold it against us, God, for what we're getting ready to do. And it says they cast Jonah overboard, and as soon as they did, the seas became calm. Yeah, also like what it says down here in the latter part of this, because as these sailors witness what happened, as these sailors witness what took place, verse 16 says this. Well, let's go to 15. 15 is where they toss him overboard. Verse 15 says, so they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. See, God had a lesson for them as well. They respected and they revered the Lord. Look what it says. It says, verse 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. So the Lord had gotten their attention as well as they had cast Jonah overboard. And then we begin to see of the miracle of the big fish. You know, why would God go through such great lengths to get Jonah right? Why would God do the things that we see him doing here for Jonah as well? Let me tell you why. Because God not only had a plan for Jonah, but God also had a plan for Nineveh, a great city that he wanted to save. Jonah needed to learn some lessons from God Almighty. You know, Jonah had a hatred. You might even call it a hatred to the point where he said, I'm not going, I can't stand those Ninevites. You know, we're living in a world today where there's so much that's taking place. I mean, you hear about racism, you hear about unfairness, you hear about all these things. Folks, God is trying to get our attention. He wants to save the United States of America the same way that we read about how he wanted to save Nineveh. Yeah, he knows about America's wickedness. He is calling us to repentance. Yeah, he may not be sending a Jonah. He is sending you a Roy. He is sending you pastors all over the world today who are before their people as best they can, whether it's in front of a camera, whether it's by social media venues, whatever it may be. But God is calling us to repentance today, and it is time for the church to get up. It is time for America to wake up. It is time for you and I individually to be instruments in the hand of Almighty God. And in this case, God said, Jonah, I didn't ask you to go to Nineveh. I told you to go to Nineveh. You went the opposite direction, and now I'm going to give you a ride back to Nineveh that I might accomplish my will through you, for you, to Nineveh, and for Nineveh. Now, next week, we'll look to pick this up, this study in the book of Jonah, and we will see what God did in that regard. But here's what I want you to know and understand today. God has a plan, and we're part of it. I'm constantly reminding you that none of the things that are going on has taken God by surprise. He knows exactly where you are. He knows that you're in your home. He knows that you haven't been able to get out. He's kept us well and healthy. You know, I don't know of anybody in our church at this point that has been struck by this virus, and we thank God for that. That's answers to prayer. We haven't been able to come together as a body of Christ, but we've been able to come together as a body of believers, and God still has plans for us. The question is, are we understanding his wake-up call on many levels? I said it a moment ago. The church, there's a wake-up call for the church. There's a wake-up call for us individually as Christian people. And there is a wake-up call for the United States of America. God has blessed us in so many ways. And there are some things that we need to do to become one nation under God once again. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more about what God did in the city of Nineveh as we progress. But the one thing I want to ask you today is, see, Jonah knew God. Do you know him today? Have you trusted our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with your life? Is he your Savior? Does he call you by name? Yeah, if not, and the Holy Spirit is knocking at your heart's door, then I want to encourage you today to take this moment to bow your head in prayer and say, Father God, today I know I need Jesus. Come into my life and save my soul. Help me, Lord, to live by your word, that my faith would not only be what I say, but also what I do. And Lord, I know from this day forth, my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. As I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you prayed that prayer, what a joy it is. We always want to celebrate with folks when they take that time and that opportunity, a very special time, to accept and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. If you did that today, I want to encourage you. Please go to our website. Please contact me through our church, Central Baptist Church. You can find us at www.oakridgecbc.org. We just want to be able to get you some material to help you begin your discipleship walk with our Lord and Savior. And we want to celebrate with you. What a joy that really is. And folks, I also want to be careful that we don't just kind of state it as, well, all you did is pray this prayer and you check those boxes off. It's more to it than that. It's about having a walk with Jesus. And we want to help introduce you to that walk now that you've met our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Join us again, actually this coming Wednesday, we will continue our Bible study, our D-Life Bible study. And then next Sunday, we're going to kind of go back and visit some things that God's doing in Nineveh. Please be in prayer for our leadership team at Central Baptist Church, meeting at 9 o'clock this morning. Keep us in prayer as we've got a lot of things that we need to go over and discuss and to prepare for the time when we will have an opportunity to be able to once again gather together as a church. I also want to remind folks that we are still in the midst of collecting our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. We've extended that simply because of not having an opportunity to be able to publicize it like we would like to. So if you would like to contribute to our Annie Armstrong offering, that is our offering for North American missions that covers Canada, United States, and Mexico. This is what keeps our missionaries out there on the field. You can do so by designating your offering to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. You can do this online as well as your general tithe and offering. So I'm going to encourage you to do that. We encourage our people to be faithful to your tithe and offering. You have done an outstanding job, and we cannot thank you enough for what you've done in the way of worship through your tithes and offerings. So we're going to ask our people at this time, members of Central Baptist Church, to please take this moment. If you're giving electronically, I'm going to go ahead and say a closing prayer and ask the blessing upon the offering. And you can go right over to our website, www.oakridgecbc.org. Hit the giving tab, and you can either give to Annie Armstrong or to our general offering. Again, pray that God's going to richly bless each and every one of you and bless your families. And we do look so forward to the day when we'll have the opportunity to once again gather in person. Let's have a word of prayer for the offering, and I look forward to seeing you by way of the electronic venues this coming Wednesday. Let's pray together. Father God, you're good to us. We praise you and we thank you for just the opportunity to be able to gather, even as families in small little rooms and small groups, to hear your word and to continue to be a part of the body of Christ. Lord, help us to heed your call in our lives to get up and get moving. Help us to see where you want us to go. And Lord, may we not find ourselves like Jonah going in the opposite direction. Father, you have blessed us in so many ways financially. You've done that on an individual level. You've done that as a church level. So Lord, right now, I just pray that you will bless this tithe and offering, Lord, which given to missions. May you bless it and multiply it for your kingdom and for your honor and for your glory. And Lord, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you Wednesday.